Monday, July 15, 2019, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02, Dakota County Special Board of Equalization meeting at 1:05 p.m.
Yes, we do have recording.
Okay, we're doing the meeting.
Ready?
Hold on.
Special at 1:05.
Yeah, from this.
Oh, it's 1:05. Yeah, you're right. Thanks, y'all.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike.
All right, we'll go ahead and stand, do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's a current copy of the Open Meetings Act posted at the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review of all citizens in attendance.
Roll call. Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Janet is out of town, my understanding, so I would make a motion to excuse her from our meeting today.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. We'll start off with public comment. If anybody has anything to comment on that is not on today's agenda, if anybody wants to talk about anything that is not on the agenda, now would be the time to come forward. All righty, we'll drop down to consent agenda items. The approval of previous minutes from July 1st, 2019. Approval of accounts payable, and then approval of the official reports, clerk, register of deeds, clerk of district court. I went through the accounts payable with Larry today, and everything seemed to be in the order for the most part. I had a couple of questions. I believe we've got those questions answered, so I would say that we'd make a motion on that.
Make a motion to accept consent agenda items.
Second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, the board to approve payroll claims from the period June 30th to July 13th. I just went through those just before the meeting. Everything seemed to be in order. There was a number of people that had seniority or raises at this time, so I went ahead and got that all taken care of, and everything appeared to be fine.
So move to accept the payroll claims.
Larry, Kevin can't vote on that.
Yeah, I have to abstain.
Do you want to second that?
Yes, second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Abstain.
All right, now we're going to approve chair to sign annual certification form regarding the allocation and expenditure of highway, street, and bridge payback programs.
I sent that out to the road department. Do you know if they, Jolene, looked at that? Did you look at that?
I did not look at it, no. But it is... It is for our allocations, just for our roads and bridges, correct, what we get annually.
They want to know the money spent from those funds, so I put that 186 and I put that 12, and then they want to know the location of the projects, and I just put all of Dakota County for that gravel for that 186.
Correct.
Engineering was on those four bridges and the Pope Bridge repair.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Well, I will make a motion for the chair to approve and sign the annual certification form.
Second.
Martin?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right, miscellaneous. Fred, the Highway Superintendent Road Report.
June 30th through July 13th, 274.5 hours of road maintenance, debris removal 17 hours, gravel haul 2,967 tons, weed spraying 8 hours, signs, barricades 3 hours, road concerns, grade and gravel 250th Street.
All right.
FEMA is in town tomorrow, is that right? Are you aware of that?
NEMA, yes.
Or NEMA?
Yes.
And are you hooking up with them at 9 o'clock when they come, or is...
I figured they're just, they usually just come to our shop after they get... They're going to do South City first, and
okay.
I didn't really want to do that to it.
Yep.
You're right enough to do on.
Okay, yeah, just as long as you get hooked up with them tomorrow. And then...
FEMA was out last week and coming again tomorrow.
Okay. And
so we're doing the ball game.
And they're kind of, did they ask for some additional information as far as where we're needing to document different places that we did things, or?
Well, they're talking about the frost boils being part of it now, but that's just it, the documentation. The best documentation we really have for frost boils, there's no pictures, there's no locations, and the person I'm dealing with, Harold is his name, has said he ran into that with other counties, that there were just too many frost boils to actually document.
Yeah.
I don't know how FEMA will handle it. Usually they're not very good if you don't have something just right in front of them. The best documentation in my book, what we have is $100,000 or more that we spent on aggregate last month.
Is that something that you'll have an answer for probably tomorrow after you talk to him, whether they need more documentation?
He seems to be on board with it. He says other counties are doing it that he's ran into. I'm assuming that it's going to work. But in the past, what happens is you meet with these people. They agree with the problem. They see the problem. It gets written up. By the time it gets to somebody down in Houston, Texas, that's when they start throwing things back.
Mm-hmm. But let's at least do our due diligence to make sure we do everything we can.
At least it is going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So.
Do they ever sign off on a sheet, like, listed the things that got corrected or going to get corrected, and then sign off and say, yes, we're going to give you this much money? Do they ever do such a thing?
What they do is they come in, they look at a sheet of all our damage, our bridges, our roads, wherever they're at. Then they make a list of that. Then we have to document that we've either fixed them or going to fix them. Then they send it in. Like I said, they send that down to Kansas City. Somebody will actually come up and look at the spots. This guy just sits in the office and looks at paper. That's what he did Wednesday. That's what he will do tomorrow. He'll take that list, another guy comes up, goes to all the sites, looks at them, and they've been changed. This is the sixth one, and they've changed it. Everyone's been different. But then after they say that, they write them all up, give they want a cost, an estimated cost of what it's going to, $5,000 for that spot, $7,000 for that spot, and they go through all your spots. They send it down there. Then you go ahead and start repairing them. And then this last time, down in Houston, for some reason, it was Houston, Texas we were dealing with, there was a guy throwing them out left and right. So the GPS didn't show enough damage. The GPS, meaning the satellite from up above, he was looking at pictures from satellites up above. After a flood, as you know, the grass starts growing back. I mean, it's pretty hard to see the damage. I mean, and we've re-graveled, we're graded, it looks like a road again. Mm-hmm. I don't agree, but there's probably 2 to 3 foot of dirt washed away, as I've told them. These roads need to be built back up where the ditch is full of silt. and they threw about 6 or 8 of them out. that's the way.
So you're never sure about nothing.
Never.
Other than dying.
2 to 3 years with right mm-hmm. home somewhere in there before you even get your money.
We just got 14 is paid.
What?
We just got the money for 2014.
We just got years.
How much?
So, Fred,
about a third of what we thought.
The 1.5 million that we got the bonds for, what are the bridge concerns that we think are probably going to go into that?
I had I've got an engineer looking at the Jackson Bridge, the Jackson High Bridge, the Hubbard Bridge, and there's a new bridge that's already on the county line. That's through that's Federal Aid Road. That's been approved. I haven't seen a design or a project cost yet.
Okay. And then whose responsibility is that to get, you know, to get that ball started on that, or like the bids and things on that? Once we get the information from them?
Once we get the information from the uh-huh. engineers of what we're
okay.
The high bridge out there, that's...
I know. I was out there after our last rain, too. And
there was actually an engineer with FEMA Wednesday, and I could actually bring up a satellite on my phone of the, and it shows it's a current one where it shows the damage on both sides of the back side of the bridge.
I will say on the positive side though, the heavy rain we had seemed to do a lot of good to like the road north of Jackson. Some of those are, really seemed to settle a lot of that down.
It took a while for the park to start to come around.
All right,
so the bridge north of Jackson, the high bridge we call it. If you're going east on it, you stay to the right side of the road, the bridge. Mm-hmm. There's a drop-off. Once you get to the gravel, it drops down. And it's almost, don't look that washed away. It almost looks like a settle. Is that possible? I mean, is it possible that it's washed out bad enough underneath the pile?
And that's on the west side as you're going east?
East side.
On the east side.
East side, south side. Southwest, mm-hmm. southeast corner. When you drive across it, I just notice when you go down the middle of a bridge, you don't feel too bad, but you get to where you're supposed to be in your lane. That's quite a drop off. I mean,
it could have dropped there.
I'm wondering. Not the bridge, but the grade.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen is it's going to kick out underneath the hill.
That's what I'm wondering.
Because it's scoured so bad.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that.
And see, the engineers have been up here once to look at it. It's Vermilly Wagner out of Lincoln. And the river's so darn high, the Missouri, they can't see, you know, the part they want to see, they can't see. They just contacted me the other day, and I said, with the discharge out of Yankton, it's about as low as it's going to get.
Yeah, no, it ain't going to get no lower.
I haven't heard anything to the core of it. I haven't heard any less.
No, I love it yesterday. It's just a high spin, and it's not going to be going down.
All right, thanks, Fred.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Freddie.
All right, Sheriff's report. Sheriff is not with us today, but Kevin said he'd run through the jail report for us.
Okay, so for June, the county jail averaged 84 county inmates a day, 28 federal inmates, 0 juveniles, and averaged 112 prisoners. For the calendar year, that's about right on schedule, 86 for the county, 27 federal, 0.03 for juvenile and 113 total in-house. For the fiscal 2018-2019, we averaged 87 county inmates, 26 federal inmates, 0.03 juveniles, and 113 total in-house. The federal incomes that we had coming in for June from the marshals was $53,000 and change. June ICE was close to $6,000. June others with BIA $390. So a total for June federal monies coming in was $60,113.76. The fiscal federal we have come in was $687,548. The inmate cost per day went up from May to June. We are at $61.86. per day. The jail spent $211,393.33 for the month of June. They are at 100% of their total estimated yearly budget. The jail was at 98% prior to June. And in June, The jail spent $9,563 more than what was allotted, would put it 4.5% over the monthly budget. June bookings, the sheriff's office had 19, South Sioux had 37, NSP had one court or self turn-in was 23, federal was 43, others was two, for a total of 125.
All right. Okay, Seven. What's
that? What the May cost for inmate was low compared to the other months? What was the difference? 49.82 versus 61. What was?
Usually, what causes that major fluctuation is medical.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's usually medical, and okay, we'll see that lull usually late spring, before summer. And then we'll see it usually jump again in the summer months and in the winter months. Okay. A couple spots usually in and there. And it usually has to deal more with the transient population. Okay. And they come in. So. Okay. Yep.
Tiffany Hansen, health director, our quarterly update.
Okay. I'm a little behind schedule, so you're going to see me now and then probably again in like 3 weeks after we do our annual. So I'm reporting on January through April of this year. Budget-wise, we were at 79%. We had to be at 83% or below. Planning for the rest of the year included FAB accreditation. So this is the Public Health Accreditation Board things, measures that we've been working on, as well as we're up for Medicaid provider re-enrollment. So we're doing that the remaining part of the year as well. Grant updates, BT, our preparedness funds, we finished up quarter three, submitted reimbursements for $9,606.20. This plan currently was working on at-risk populations, so this included translation of materials into multiple languages, team development for evacuation, and mapping of the city. These are all mandates by the state that they require us to do, so Jen worked on that. We also wrote our 2019-2020 work plan for the year and actually found out that we got awarded $15,000 additional dollars for the upcoming year. So that puts us about $61,000 for that funding source, which is nice. Immunizations, we submitted quarter one reports. Estimated reimbursements for this was about $8,941. This quarter we worked on being more aggressive with our reminder recalls. So this is like our phone calls, our letter systems, who we're calling and who we're targeting. So the state wanted us to really specifically target our HPV kiddos, and so those kids that are in that 11 to 13 range, they got extra phone calls and extra letters, so mom and dad got a lot of those. We are currently at 56% completion rate for the two series, HPV, and the state would like us to be at 58% by June of next year. So this is one of the things that we're going to be working on. We also did get our letter of intent to award for the 2019-2020 year, so that grant will actually increase by about $3,000, so we'll get $32,888 for the upcoming year. West Nile, we submitted our work plan. We get funded about $1,200 a season, so we help with spraying, the dunks, wipes, really kind of anywhere we can stretch some money. Minority Health, we submitted quarter seven reports. The reimbursement was for $13,101. This quarter we started working with Tyson, so we were actually able to screen in January to April 59 clients, and that number has steadily increased, so I'm interested to see when we do month end for this month what we're at. Radon, we wrapped up the radon season. Final reports will be on that annual that I give you guys in another couple weeks. The board did approve standard operating procedures, which we've had in place for a while. We just updated them, added some suggestions that the auditors had, added some suggestion that our subrecipient monitoring auditor had for our preparedness funds, and so those will also be on the next time I come back to you guys, because you guys have to approve that as well. And then we completed our community health needs assessment, and so there's a copy of it on our website on the county page for the public to access, as well as I thought I would kind of go through a couple of little tidbits that I thought were interesting, just because I can and I have your attention. So when we did the county needs assessment, one, we sent out surveys to the county and then for primary data, and then we also use secondary data sets that are available, like the census and things like that. So one of the things that I thought were takeaways were healthcare access for the county, which I think we're pretty well aware that this is high, but 27.5% of the county has no healthcare coverage, which I thought was a little higher than I was anticipating.
Uh-huh.
31% have no professional doctor or no primary care physician, and 13% of our population actually said that they needed to see a doctor in the past year but couldn't because of cost. And the top seven causes of death in the county are cancer, heart disease, lung disease, accidental death, which that can fluctuate, stroke, Alzheimer's, and diabetes actually increased by 10%. So that's one of the things that we're going to be working on over the next 3 years is kind of how we're educating related to diabetes and prevalency and pre-diabetes and exposures on that level. And the last thing that we did is last week we actually did strategic planning with the board members that could be there and our staff and anybody kind of from the community that could join us. So a lot of those death rates that were on there and those causes of death for the county actually came out in the strategic planning, so we'll be working to address some of those over the next 3 to 5 years.
The strategic planning day on Thursday went pretty good?
Yeah, it went great. It was 9 to 3. We had 13 people there, and it went really well. Deb Burnett was our facilitator, and we actually had funds from the state to do it as part of our FAB accreditation. It's one of the requirements, and it went really good. A lot of things kind of surfaced that came out in the community health needs assessment. A lot of good quality improvement things, and it went really, really well.
Oh, good.
Any questions?
I don't think so. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Yes, thank you, guys.
You bet, thank you.
Have a great day. Keep doing.
All right. Also, it's about time to do our tour of the jail. Sheriff's on vacation, so we're going to go ahead and push that back to our next meeting because we have board equalization after this meeting. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and push that back to our next meeting.
Okay.
Commissioner committee reports. Anybody got anything they've been doing the last couple weeks? Mail or emergency business? All right, at this time then, we'll go ahead and adjourn our standard or regular commissioner meeting, go to board of equalization. Kevin?
Okay. All right, we are going to begin our board of equalization meeting for July 15th. It is now 1:26 p.m. Joan, can you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Yeah, here.
Janet is absent. Martin?
Yes.
Tony?
Here.
Okay. Janet is absent. I will make a motion to excuse Janet.
Second.
Second by Tony.
Larry?
Here.
Yes or no, excuse Janet?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. And current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We are going to begin with the consent agenda items, and there's only one, and that is the approval of the previous minutes from July 8th of 2019.
So moved.
Okay, I have a motion by Tony, and I will second that.
Martin?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. And move on to new business. And the board to review property valuation protests by considering all papers relating to the protest and findings and recommendations of the referee, and may make the order recommended by the referee or any other order in the judgment of the BOE required by the findings of the referee, or may hear additional testimony, or may set aside such findings and hear the protest anew. Okay, so let's get started on these. So we will start with parcel number 29830. Well, these are all the ones from last week.
Yeah.
So, but we've got a couple that still are out there, right, Jeff?
Yeah, there's
couple three.
Hopefully we get some more coming in. The guys are here in Dakota City someplace.
Okay. They haven't dropped off their files yet?
So I'm kind of waiting for it. They have one house to look at in Dakota City.
Well, we'll start with the ones that we got. We got parcel 29830, 14884, and 31177. That's Gabriel and Mercedes Rodriguez. We'll start the first one. Previous was 159715. Went to 164685, and the referee is recommending 158930. So I think we came down a little bit, but it's still not much of a jump.
Okay. Yeah, he brought in evidence I didn't have. So on my report, I left it. No, Chad, he didn't prove his case, but the referee got some extra pictures and some things. This one was the tricky one that has two houses on it, and the electric actually pipes from one house to the other house. So basically, it's a planning and zoning nightmare in South Sioux that no bank would really touch to finance. You'd have to find creative financing if they ever put it on the market. And that's why I believe the appraisers gave them a little bit of a
break.
Gave them a little break
on it because it would be a hard resell.
Okay.
And it's still within the market area. I mean, I wouldn't contest that. That's kind of right in the right area for it.
Okay.
Let's go to their recommendation.
Yep.
Yeah.
158930. Okay. The next one, it was 55905 last year. Referee recommended 57750. So that's about a $2,000 increase. Okay. So we're looking basically at market.
650. Yeah. Oh yeah. He did. He got the rents too. So we were able to look at it from an income too and do a gross rent multiplier on it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go with the referee's recommendation on that one.
Yep.
Okay. The next one, that 31177, we had 87250 last year, 101990 this year, and the referee recommends 89315. So we got about a...
Contest number 31 is what you're on, correct?
Yep. Yes. Sorry, June. So we came down...
Oh, yeah, I thought...
We came down and... It's about a $2,000 raise.
Yeah,
he paid.
They got more information than I did. This is the Rodriguez thing again.
Okay.
The right condition. Oh, it looks like it was the condition. They went out and inspected it. And they used the 16 sales price plus the condition change to come up with the 89.
Okay. You good with that?
Yeah, I was good. It was one of those where I didn't get a chance.
Yes.
A lot of times they just bring their evidence in, show to the referee, and we never get a chance to see it.
Okay. Okay. Protest 48, parcel 05191, Doug Barr, previously 410930. Currents 485855, and the referee recommends 422835. I believe this is one where they had to do quite a bit of looking
because what
to come up with that number.
What we're getting stuck with is once these homes get over 4,000 square feet, it's hard to comp them and find the legitimate sales price. So we've had a couple of sales, one over on the Homer Bluff there. I think it was the Harris Place.
Or Heck Place?
Place. Yep. And that, it brought way under what, so you can do a cost on it, and it's, hell, it brought about dang near $200,000 short of what it would cost to build that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's somewhere between 150 and 200. So our market doesn't, like the highest sale I went back that I've ever found in Dakota County is about $535,000, and it's for one of them on old sawmill. I don't know if it was not L&L's, but the one next to them. So it's kind of hard to...
Pringers,
there you go, yeah. So we were trying to come up with math and find a way to support it, and I turned it over to the appraisers. I said, if we get it, it's got to be over four. And I said, 450's got to be the cap, pretty much. I don't think I'm going to get over 450 for where he's at.
What did he ask for?
I think he's in 4...
He wanted 423. Okay, we're below what he's asking, so I think I think we're good with the,
and,
the assessors.
Yeah, and he got his numbers from an old appraisal, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got protest 60, parcel... 54937, 73850 was last year, 98800 this year. Referee recommends 97565. This was that house out on R Avenue. Oh, no. No, this isn't. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Here in town. I think it's a metal frame.
1513 Locust.
8680.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Put on outside of walls.
It says hail.
Hail damage.
Wiring is on the outside of walls. Possible for gravel in parking church.
Yeah, church.
Oh, I know this one. Okay.
Hail, extensive siding window frame 2015. This $80,000 appraisal would like inspection.
Yeah, we had to go. We had to go out and look at that. We had some porch stuff on there wrong. We had an addition on the back that wasn't there.
Did it have a pitch? Does it have a picture, Joan?
So we cleaned up the porch and something else. The hard part, she didn't get what she wanted. Right across the street, a lesser home, that guy sold for, I want to say, it should be right up here. What did that sale for? 115 or 100 and some odd thousand. And that's an inferior house just on the other side of the street.
Okay.
So we were in the 90s on her after we cleaned it up. And I left it up to the appraisers after that. So it comps out well. You know, worse, all of our numbers are supported. I can support it on equalization or sales.
Okay.
So right. It comped out pretty good at that mid-90s, okay. Mid to high 90s.
Okay.
And I think that's what did they end up recommending?
97,565.
Yeah, I think I had it at 98, but this is perfect. I mean, it's their job, so.
Okay,
well, let's protest 61, parcel 01307. And it was 132 last year. This year, 187. Referee recommended 179,55.
This was that mobile home or this is her Tahoe.
Protest 61.
Richards.
This is the R Avenue. Richards. This might be a comparable.
Is this the one we were looking at?
Is this one of the comparable sheets?
Kristen and Stephanie Richards.
Yeah, this is the one we were wondering why it jumped, and it they've got like the full basement
underneath it.
The double one? Yeah.
Yeah, they had an outside shed.
Plus the other addition stick belt they got. Those are some other double wide comps for it. Where's her pictures at? There were my notes, and I think I had them no change. They must have found something different.
They have property values should be adjusted for removal of pool, which technically didn't happen before June.
Yeah, so that's questionable. We could go either way with that pool. I mean, because I have an aerial of May where it's still there. Yeah, so.
What did they adjust for? They don't first.
Well, it looks like they dropped 17,000
off of mine.
Yeah,
it's got the full block basement under it with the built-in garage.
And then
it's got
there
a Morton building.
Another building on the property too.
Yeah, there's another building on the property as well.
New roof on it. Okay.
There's their pictures they brought in. So sometime between May 23rd, I want to say, and those pictures, that pool was taken out.
Okay. So we're good with that.
And you can see the addition and the windows there kind of in the back. And then you can see where the trailer is parked from the aerial. I don't know, did they put an aerial in there for you? So you can kind of see where the roof line's higher above the built-in garage. Well, maybe we didn't. We should have. We put everything else in there, it looks like.
I think it's coming down 17,000 for them when we don't have to, really.
I mean, we're giving them a break based on, oh, there's Lieber's trailer with, and what that is another one where somebody took a double wide added stick belt to it. He doesn't have a pool, but it's got a nice big garage. So we comped them against other double wides with additions.
Okay.
And we did, so it looks to me like they must have taken the pool off.
They did.
So, for us, technically, if it's there January 1, we can leave it on. But as a board, if we want to do something, we can. They brought the pictures in, it's gone. We can take it off. I don't know what that does to us. One where it's not consistent, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If we leave the pool on and we leave everybody, it's that whole January 1 deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're doing it for one?
I don't know. I haven't done it. Yeah, I don't know if we should do it or not. I don't.
So you think we
should bump? Looks like the referee did. I don't know who signed that.
Yeah.
So you think we should bump it back to the 187?
I think so.
If we bump it back to the 187, then we're going to be consistent with what we tell everyone. We always tell them, you know, if it happened after January 1, there's nothing we do until the following year. Except now with natural disasters, we have that new deal with LB 512. So actually, this year we got another tool to help people for natural disasters. So we can leave it at the 187 too.
Okay.
And again, all trailers jump this year.
Photo of the pool being removed. I don't see anything.
Well, yeah, let's just stay consistent then. That way, everything's across the board.
They can't. I don't want to get somebody arguing, or if they talk about it, then they're like, well, how come you told me this, and then you did this here?
So 187,445 is what we'll go with.
Yep.
Okay. Protest 63,154,104. 200,000 last year. 212,340 this year, and that is what the recommendation was. This is 304 Gill Avenue.
Is
that the Jackson edition?
No, this is Katie and Russell pick.
Oh, yeah, I've been right across the street from Janet.
Yeah, what you want to say. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, protest 71,74305 is the parcel. 129 last year, 132,620 this year. Referee stays out at 132,620. I think that's a fair assessment.
Fair assessment. Yeah.
He's another one. He protests, I think, every
year. Oh, yeah. I should remember it by heart, but...
Yeah.
Rainer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Ronnie.
Protest 72, parcel 34664. 184,525 last year. 208,460 this year. And the referee recommended 208,460. 3123rd Avenue. Little Paddock.
Is that down on the river there?
Yeah.
3rd Avenue? It's got to be right down on the
river. Yeah, it's got to be over in there someplace. Haddock. About.
No. 3123rd Avenue?
West?
Oh, sorry.
Thinking West.
I was thinking 3rd Street.
3rd Avenue.
Which one is it?
3rd Avenue should be.
Which one is
should
that?
Be south of 29th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What do you got here?
Oh,
nice place.
Yeah, that's a newer place, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure looks like this vinyl siding, newer vinyl insert. If it's older, it's been totally redone, I would assume.
South of 29th Street?
Yeah. Go two blocks south of 29th Street and then head west.
Oh, I see.
Oh, there you go.
What do I do?
No, that's perfect, John.
I don't know if there's a picture of this place.
208?
Do you want me to go into the GIS real quick and just look?
Yeah, then see if I can recognize it. Yeah.
Wasn't that the...
It looked like it was a gray one.
Was that a comp?
The first one was a comp?
Or was that the house? That looked like the house.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess it was. They should have started with a record.
Because I think when you turn on 31st to head west, it's right there, basically right at the corner. And it's the only one that sits there.
It sits
it's
on
a nice
big
house.
Lot, if I remember correctly.
The avenue is first street there, is Avenue. And Dakota Avenue is the first.
No.
Is that second?
No, Dakota Avenue itself is just considered Dakota Avenue. And then you go one block to the west.
And that's first?
That's First Avenue.
Oh, that is First Avenue?
Yep.
And this one's on
but
Third?
Third Avenue.
Yeah, it's... You remember how Pepsi had to come in that back way?
Yeah.
I think it's right around in that area.
Down
one of the
over
roads
there.
That they
oh, used. I was totally in the wrong place.
I think that's one of the roads that they used was right there.
Well, somebody's building a house back there right now.
Yeah.
Back in there behind the full fire station or the school or whatever that is.
That is, yeah. There's something going, and then they're putting up a tower over there somewhere, too. I saw a bunch of iron mining or steel and stuff.
Yeah, right they are right
it's parcel.
Right behind that?
2200-34664.
I want them to start scanning some more in so we can...
Man, it'd be great if we could...
They should.
Should have.
That was the house.
Is the house?
Yeah.
How many square foot is it?
208.
Yeah, that's what, 2 years old?
1542.
And then garages.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 2001 it was built in. It's almost 20 years old now.
This is a big lot, 264 by 130.
Is that what it is? That's big.
I can zoom out here a little bit, and so you can maybe
half an acre.
See where it's Southridge Golf Course is right here.
Yeah, I've got it. That's right.
It's like four lots long.
Yeah. I think you could get 208 out of that in the city.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with
Go with their recommendation on that one. Okay. Then we've got a couple protests here.
Jeff's going to see if they got
anything.
Shit, the guy, I went and talked to him at 11 o'clock and he said he was on his way. How the hell can he get here and give us 20 of them so we get at least a little further down the road?
Right.
And then he'll need this taxless correction that everybody was given. Betty was not old enough to receive homestead exemption of 2018. It was not caught. Correction made for 2018 taxes. Betty Jordan.
Betty Jordan.
Do you automatically get homestead? You have to apply for it.
I think you have to apply for it, yeah.
Yeah, and your income can't be too much either.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she wasn't even old enough to... anyway. So, we'll take action.
Kevin, did they clean out that culvert down by your dad?
No.
I didn't think so either.
Not that I've ever seen it be cleaned out.
I've never seen no activity on there either.
Never seen anything that looks like they've done it.
I never saw no traction on it from unloading the excavator and stuff either.
No. I don't think they did. I'll ask Dad. He'll know for sure.
Yeah, he'll
but
know
I don't,
for sure.
I mean, I drive by it at least 5 times a week, or at least 10 times a week.
I go that way a couple times a week just for going that way.
And I haven't seen it yet.
Ask him, though. I'd love to know.
Because was that the actual address of the
right
debris?
Road.
No, but I'm talking about, was that what they said, that one bill that we looked at?
Well, I think so. What is that, R Avenue?
200th Street. That culvert would, and 200th Street or Jewel Avenue.
Those that wasn't the address, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder where that was.
What was that address?
I can't remember what it was.
Fred had any lights going to clean out.
Do you want to recess for us?
Yeah, let's recess for a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay, it is 1:49. We are going to take a short recess. We are waiting for Jeff Curry, the assessor, to see if we have some more protests that we can hear in this meeting. And we will adjourn at... recess.
Oh, good Lord. All of a sudden, yeah.
Okay,
I don't want
it.
Quit
laughing
so hard. Everybody.
Okay, we are going to come out of recess. It is now 2:10 p.m. We have heard the property valuation protest that we had currently available. So I will make a motion to accept the referee's recommendation on protest 27, 28, 31, 48, 60, 63, 71, and 72.
I'd second that motion.
Okay.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. Okay, and then I will make a motion to accept the assessor's recommendation on protest 61 of 187,445.
Second.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay. And as for right now, that is what we have for those. So we'll move on to new business B. Jeff Curry requesting the board to approve the tax list corrections for parcels with clerical and or admitted errors.
All right. I think we all have a copy here. It's the parcel number 74186, Betty Jurgensen. This is would qualify more along the lines of a clerical. What had happened is, I believe it was in 17, her husband passed. So that made her, based on age, she should not have been able to get it in 18 or 19. So she applied both years, and she did receive it in 18. But on this new application, the state caught it on their review and denied her. So we had to take, but they couldn't go back. We have to go back and take care of 18 is what it is. And it was all based on age. And I asked Chrissy, well, it's verified it wasn't like her husband wasn't a veteran or something, because like the spouse of a vet, they can, now with the new legislation, they get to keep the homestead. But none of that was applicable. So it was one of those where we missed or did not have our, for lack of a better term, our death book updated. Mm-hmm. We have to keep track of that. It's kind of a morbid job, but mm-hmm. we're supposed to do it for homestead. And we missed that one for 18. So what this does is correct that mistake. And I think the total dollar of impact we're looking at is like $199.02 of taxes. So.
Okay. I guess that's kind of straightforward. It's just a clerical, and we got to fix it.
Yep.
Okay. So I will make a motion to approve the tax list correction.
Second.
Second by Tony.
Larry?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, that is it for new business. We'll move on to public comment. There is...
Come on. No.
There is no one for public comment, so we will move on to adjournment, and we will adjourn. It is now 2:14. Okay.